Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Uh-oh, you know what time it is when you hear my fucking voice. Well, hello, internet, and welcome to season 225, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. It's the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. It's Tuesday, February 22nd, and you know, as a California native, I have to say that it is National California Day or something like that, whatever that means. Don't know what it means, but why not? Cali all day. Let's see. My name is Miles Gray. That's right. AKA, I'm a husband. Her Majesty's my bride. I wanted to call her my wife. Okay, shout out to the brew on the Discord for that Dead or Alive by Yamba Yobi. Shout out to Yamba Yobi, obviously. And I'm thrilled to be joined by my guest co-host today. Fantastic comedian, improviser, actor, voice actor, producer. I could just name anything. He does it, and he does it fucking well. Chicago's very own Jacques Neal, welcome.
You'll never find as long as you live someone who loves you like Jacques do. I said you'll never find someone who cares about you like the Daily Zeitgeist is what we do. Oh, what up, Negroes?
Oh, my goodness. He's back.
We back. Oh, third time. It must be Black History Month, y'all. That got me here. Third time in the month. Miles. Thank you so much, Miles, for having me.
Oh, anytime. We back. Always good to have you. Always good to see you.
We kicked Jack out. We was like, get on out of here, man. Last week of February, we need to get the brown folks.
Take a break real quick.
Take a break.
That's what I do when he comes back. Every time I'll be like, Jack, you really didn't make space for a black co-host this week? They're like, oh, okay, that's the look. That's the energy you painted last week.
That's the energy you made. All right, Jack, all right. That's what you're trying to do, Jack O'Brien.
Oh, yeah. I think he was holding it down while I was gone for so long, you know.
Yes.
I was like, he's like, why don't you take a break, man? Why don't you finish that outside, okay?
Yeah. Yo, congratulations, motherfucking Miles Gray. I don't know if we're talking about it or not. If we not, we can cut it.
No, I did. That's why
I'm a husband. Yeah, congratulations, my man.
Appreciate it.
Jumped the broom. You did it.
Jumped the broom onto the glasses. Had to combine many different traditions in the wedding.
Mm.
And I almost died during the hora.
That's all right. Did y'all do the electric slide?
The hora.
No, but we did have a gigantic, like, fucking dance off to Back That Ass Up, where a lot of elderly people joined. And the dance floor was a little bit small for Electric Slide. And then I had a whole argument. I was like, I need to play Outstanding by the Gap Band right now.
Oh, yeah. You did it right then.
But, you know, it's one of those things when you're like in charge of music, you got to keep the energy up. Throwing on Outstanding, like as the energy is going up, it can go one of two ways. And I couldn't take that gamble. So we doubled down and did Where the Party At by Jagged Edge.
Love it.
Anyway. Love it.
We should bring our guest on.
Thank you. So, see, Jaquise, this is why you're here, to help me stay focused and on track. Today's guest.
Uh-huh.
Sorry.
Introduce the guest, please.
Please let me. Will you, please? Our guest today is a outstanding comedian, outstanding host, outstanding producer. Maybe you heard of her from her work on News Broke at AJ Plus. Maybe you know the Young Turks, because you're like, wait, ooh. I know her from there. Maybe you know her from Red, White, and Who? On MSNBC. Ooh, maybe you know her on The Vituation Room, one of my favorite podcasts, and should be yours too. If you like this show, I mean, don't sleep on The Vituation Room, because our guest has fantastic comedians on, fantastic activists on, experts. It's everything this show isn't. I would call that The Vituation Room a first-rate podcast. But welcome to this second-rate podcast, the brilliantly talented, hilarious, and just overall wonderful human being, Francesca Fiorentini!
Oh, hi. Welcome. Thank you so much, Francesca Fiorentini, a.k.a. I'm going to be in Brooklyn on March 10th at the Bell House. If you guys want to come out and see me live, I'll be with Sam Cedar, council member Tiffany Caban, and Matt Lieb, who's been a regular here, also my betrothed.
Yes.
So obituationroom.com. I'm getting the plugs in up top.
Hell, you got to.
Which is smart. You using the AKAs for the right reasons. We have the same shit.
AKA
also known as
you like AKA come give me this money.
Yes. Exactly. Like I need this. AKA I buy my healthcare on the marketplace.
Yeah. AKA I have to cover the cost of my flight to New York. Please.
Can I also just say, look, I've been on the Daily Zeitgeist more times than I can count now. As a guest and a host, Francesca was the first person that jumped on, had the fire as background, and was like, what color you want? What color you want to see in this background?
Yeah.
And she changed it up. It's looking right. So I'm just saying, for any future, for the Jamie Loftuses of the world, for all the guests of the world that's coming on the Daily Zeitgeist, get your background game up. Get your background game up, because Francesca's shutting it down on
the challenge has been issued.
Damn.
Yeah. Yeah, Liam. Room Raiders only gave me a 7 because I had cord mismanagement in the back, so I'm really trying to change that.
Did you actually pop up on Room Raiders?
I did, and it wasn't my cords. It was Matt Lieb's, like, PS5. Yes, he did get his hands on one. It was his stupid-ass cord, so I was very upset about that.
Hey, what happened with the ring? Y'all sort that ring out?
Oh, we got a new ring.
Yeah?
We got a new ring.
Good.
We got a wedding date. Things are moving.
I like that.
We never speak of the other ring again. It's like a...
What happened? You lose it? Or somebody lost it?
Oh, yeah.
It was a saga.
Well, it should be lost. Shit. Well, I am going to drop it into the ocean like, you know, the old lady in Titanic.
Yeah. Heart of the sea.
It looks like that. It's basically heart of the sea level. Okay. If anyone's grandma is looking for a nice piece, hit us up at Franny Fio. I feel like it'd be a really good, like, 70th birthday gift or 80th or 90th, honestly. It might even be good to be buried in. So
I don't know. This sounded like the ring was ugly. You didn't like the ring. Is that what's going on?
That is
here?
The story. Okay.
The best part was, I think it was like days after Matt proposed, he came on the show and he said, yo, the proposal went well, but the ring was such an L.
Like, I'm so embarrassed to talk about it. And then Francesca, I think, was the guest the next day or the day, like one day between. And so we got it from both sides. And yeah, you were just disheartened.
It's a long saga. But now I've got my, yes, sustainably mined white sapphire to avoid the diamond industrial complex.
Yeah. Okay.
Hey, man, I'm about to have a whole grill made out of lab-grown diamonds, you know?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I love hearing the take from the diamond industry being like, these lab-grown diamonds, they're like not even that good. They're like, they're chemically the same fucking thing.
Yeah.
You're just mad that they're not ripping them out of the earth like y'all do.
Well, you know, I rip all my diamonds out the earth because I'm a real one. But for, no, I'm joking.
Just with your teeth.
Just with my teeth, you know, not with my hands. Not with my hands.
Yeah. When I'm looking for, picking up loose mushrooms that grow in the park and try them out. See if any of them get me even a little bit fucked up.
And of course, by diamonds, I'm talking about all my diamond albums I got. You know, my diamond certified albums, y'all.
You know what's dope is if you ever, like, edit a Wikipedia page, like, if you, for your own, just add random shit. Like, you have the highest selling album of all time. Okay. Francesca, I think I'm going to do that on your Wikipedia page.
Actually. Yo, I can't edit my Wikipedia page. I don't think they let women do that.
Mm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, women are not allowed to edit their own
Wikipedia page.
That was canceled. That's been in the Bible.
You're too hysterical. No, yeah, there's something about it where it's like, you're a public figure. You have no say over your public
who you
persona.
Are. You can't verify. Like they're like, this is wildly inaccurate. Okay, then. But before we get into learning more about you, Francesca, let's talk a little bit about what we are going to talk about. Going to check in with Kim Potter, the cop who killed Dante Wright. The sentencing outcome has been released as of this recording, and we are shocked that the empathy went completely in the wrong direction in this court case. Then we're going to talk about the Trump grift continuing, but now with NFTs, motherfuckers. If you thought they were lacking with their fucking scam game, well, here they are. Now they got NFTs you can buy, and they're totally full of shit. And then we're going to talk about MoviePass. They're back. And their ideas are creepier than ever.
Mm-hmm.
This is exactly what we like to see. But before we talk about any of that, Francesca, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Okay, I was trying to do a bad tweet, meaning like it's just a bad, it's just, it wasn't a good, well-crafted tweet. I was trying to look up the top hunters and predators in the animal kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
But every time you like use an animal reference in a tweet, it's just boring. Like a great white shark or like a wolf. And it's always like a wolf in sheep's clothing. And then there's like crocodile. And then there's like Komodo dragon or one of those, which I didn't
predator?
Know. I think so.
Komodo dragons, yeah.
Komodo, not Komodo.
Because their like bite is like ridiculous. Aren't their like mouths so fucking dirty? Like your bite, your like wound will just like necrotize like on upon bite or something like
Komodo dragon. Yeah, that's crazy. They're fucking stacked. But here's the reason I was trying to do that is because Axios released a really terrible article that was like the squad has their politics have backfired.
Red alert emoji.
The red alert. No.
I saw that shit.
And you read the article and it's like squad politics have backfired according to top leading Democrats who hate the squad. Like, you can ask corporate Democrats about how the squad is doing. It is like asking a Komodo dragon about how your neck is doing as it bleeds out.
I'm trying to track this. I'm trying to track it with you, right? The Komodo dragon. Do they bite your neck?
No, I did. It's like asking, as I wrote, like, elk strategy has failed according to wolves.
I see. Right. I get it.
Yeah,
they're out to get them anyway. Why the fuck are you going to ask them how they're doing?
And again,
I get you.
So fucking lazy. It's like wild how journalism is completely just fully gone into free fall where you're like, you look at stuff, you're like, this, you're asking cops about crime. Like,
exactly.
You're taking cops' words they're just as the gospel truth based on what they think about crime rates and things like that, or you're asking the corporate Democrat take on the wing of the party that's saying, y'all not doing enough, you're fucking up, this is how we lose the midterms. We're like, oh God, the hateration needs to stop.
The wing of the party, they're actively fundraising right now to tank straight up in the midterms. They're funneling money into some new corporate PAC that is going in deep blue districts. These are already secured districts against anyone who's primarying incumbents. So yeah, it's clear if we lose in the midterms, the Democrats lose. It's not on progressives at all. It's on all the fucking focus being on progressives when the real enemy, you know, the real ones are the fascists. But anyway, that's how fascism thrives.
Yeah, fascists on both sides of the aisle, too, you know.
Indeed.
Sooner people come to that realization. Well, I don't know what will happen. Sooner they come to that realization, because at the end of the day, I mean, that sort of traditional party power is just so entrenched. It's hard to know how it evolves past it without real massive, you know, organization with just regular people. But yeah, it is wild, because it's the same tired ass take of like, well, progressives are blah, blah. Motherfucker, the most popular shit that it pulls through the roof with like both sides is progressive policies. But if you just take out the language or whatever, the spin on how you want to present it, you really have no one except yourself to blame. So
Meanwhile, child poverty increases right now. It's like, oh yeah, because the child tax credits weren't extended. Dumb shits.
Can actually thank Biden for that one. You know?
Yeah.
How about that? Or Joe Manchin, depending if you just want to say. It's actually this one guy.
You can
it's actually
blame
these two
the Democrats,
people.
The ones who don't give a shit about anything but staying in office and making money.
Anyway,
Axios article talks to this guy, Josh Gottheimer, and I believe he's a congressperson. And he's not been in the news, meaning he's not a Manchin cinema character, but he's Manchin and Sinema are people who are like running cover for people like Josh Gottheimer, who does not want, let's say, Medicare to be able to negotiate drug prices.
Yeah, exactly.
The most popular and most no-brain. Conservatives are on board with that.
Yeah.
But, and so Josh Gottheimer is to the right of a lot of conservatives, a lot of Republicans.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's that pharma money. Hey, man, it's wild what that money does to you. You're like, no, I'm merely just a physical carbon presence in the halls of Congress that are just meant to keep the money flowing in a certain direction. Mm-hmm.
Would you like a cookie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. But that Manchin, though, huh? They're like, dude, I'm looking at the roll call vote on you striking. Never mind. Forget it.
Yeah.
Enough. enough with that. Let me get my heart rate
down. Top.
Yeah. Well, look, politics all the time. Mm-hmm. But that's how it is in this day and age. Francesca, what's something you think that is overrated? Did I word that correctly? What's something that's overrated?
Maybe you guys have spoken about this character, but Che Diaz on And Just Like That is overrated as hell. I cannot even finish this most cursed reboot of Sex and the City ever. Yeah. Che Diaz is a comedian, supposedly. They go by they, them pronouns, which is dope. That's great. I love all that. I love that they're gay. I love all those things. Mm-hmm. I just don't like the fact that a boomer wrote this character it was their weird Westworld creation of what they think a young person and a young queer person sounds and looks like and is like. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're not funny. There's nothing more offensive to comedians. And maybe it's just comics who are getting upset about Che Diaz, but then an unfunny comic.
Yeah.
But like you don't even have to include jokes. In fact, don't even film them doing jokes.
Yeah. Oh,
just cut painful. To everyone laughs enough. But the jokes are so bad.
It was bad. I don't watch the reboot, but everybody kept talking about it online. So like I found the clip of the special in the reboot, and I'm thinking like it's just gonna be like a couple minutes, but they like made it seem like it was like this is what the special was, and I was like, there's no jokes in here. Hey, to all my people, you like being alive? Hell yeah. I'm like, hey, that's not a joke.
Y'all gay?
It really was.
It's hey, be like yourself.
Exactly. It was a weird, I feel like it's like what Ben Shapiro thinks.
Right.
That like woke comedy is, and you're like, no, there are many non-binary and queer comics that are funny as hell, and dare you do this to them and us? Like, this is very bad.
When you watched it, were you constantly praying for Che to completely fuck over Miranda, like at every time? I was like, please be like, pull up to the show and like, they're with somebody else. Like, please break Miranda's fucking, just smash that shit into the ground.
I think it's so on brand for Miranda to fall in love with someone like Che.
Right.
I just love, I think I've seen the take, we can talk about this for a while, but I've seen the take of like, Miranda's turned into a Karen. It's like, yeah, Miranda's kind of always been a Karen. Yeah. They're all kind of Karens. And it's way funnier to have someone who's out of touch and like leaving their husbands at the age of whatever, 55, 60 for no good reason. I still can't finish it because I just think it is again the most cursed reboot. Justice for Steve, justice for Samantha. Uh-huh. And I'm not going to finish this until Che gets better jokes.
Damn.
I
mean,
then which I think you'll never
the season is
it.
Written, so you're not going to finish
and
it.
And it's done.
I watched it all. It's like, I don't know, like maybe it'll be nah, trash to
I
the
just,
end.
First of all, I feel sorry for the performer playing Che Diaz because they are going through. They was like, motherfucker, I just read a script. Leave me alone.
Exactly. Sarah Ramirez, I think their name
Sarah,
is.
Sarah, yeah. Sarah Ramirez. Yes. Sarah's like, I just did a job. I couldn't make my own jokes.
Yeah.
Also, I saw like a clip of, I don't know, the character, Miranda is the woman who was like into Che Diaz, right?
That's
Okay. I saw a clip or a meme or something where Miranda was like, I DM'd you like 3 months ago. Why didn't you hit me back? And Che Diaz was like, I smoke a lot of weed. Right. I couldn't hit you. I was like, what the fuck does that mean?
No, she said, I do a lot of weed.
Oh, I do a lot of weed.
Wow.
Yeah.
And siren emoji, cop alert.
Copyright. Can I have one weed, please?
Che Diaz is a psyop, bro. Let's just get it out. We already know what Che's out here trying to do. Yeah, that's a very, I mean, yeah, look, I could get into this all day, but they've really fucked up not having Samantha on there, too, unless, like, it is what it is. Let's move on to underrated. Francesca, what's something you think is underrated?
I mean, this thing keeps on coming back with a vengeance. You know, it is resilient as hell. I think the status quo is just really just stunting on all of us and really out here underrated. Like, we forget. Like, oh, yeah. Hey, remember how things don't change? So every week, every day, I'm kind of like, that fucking status quo still getting the better of us. And I'm also, like, generally mad that, like, people and progressives and the left, like, I wish we should be, like, after you see the Canadian truckers, you're like, man, why aren't we doing that shit?
Right.
You know, it's like the 5% of me on the January 6th that was like, we should have done that. You know,
right.
Yeah.
We would have all died, obviously, because we're not.
Yeah. We would have got murked, but.
Yeah.
But yeah.
The concept is, I mean, listen, do what you got to do, but instead of the target, we should have been fucking blowing up the Capitol too and shit to like get our way. I know that's bad to say, but like.
Non-violently.
Yeah. We would make sure
up
it was.
With our ideas.
Exactly.
With our vibes.
An empty Capitol too. Nobody in there or anything like that. Just, you know, blowing up with our words.
Bringing it down brick by brick. Dismantling
it. We go mosh, as Eminem once said, as everyone ran into the Capitol to then vote.
Yeah.
We gonna egg it. We just gonna egg it.
Yeah. Status quo is something. It's
underrated. This is always the hardest one for me.
It's gravity. You know what I mean? Like, how do you upend gravity without getting everybody on Earth to jump at the same time? I believe that's the one way we can make shit happen, you know, and throw Earth off its axis. If everyone on Earth jumps
up, I think that'd be fun as hell.
Yeah,
but yeah, it is like really disheartening because there are always these moments where you're like, oh, you know what? Potential sea change, and nah, you only just saw some change for about 6 months,
yeah,
and then right back to it, and whether it's you know, equality, racial injustice, fucking misogyny, whatever. Like, there's always just that little bit, but then for whatever reason, it's too difficult for the masses to fully cross over.
Like, the 2020 whites are gone, you know? They're gone.
Yeah, where are my guilt followers at?
Yeah, the motherfuckers is gone. They left. They, you know, so, and it's just right back to normal, which is what we say all the fucking time. Yeah. It was like, all right. Y'all putting your black squares up now and posting. Y'all posting a little bit longer this time. Y'all had
stories. We shouldn't have shamed them about the black squares. You know what I mean? It's like maybe that was,
that was
support
it.
That.
It's on us. We should be like,
we
black
support
squares,
your bare minimum
so
effort.
But it is, like you go back and look at videos from 2020 and it is incredible how little's been done. And I know we're going to talk about it with the Kim Potter and Dante Wright case, but like, it's incredible a little's been done on criminal justice reform, police reform, anything. Not even, we don't even have a database. Still don't have a database of police shootings.
Yeah.
No.
And that's just insane to me. The most popular. Meanwhile, we're still here out here fucking discussing whether defund the police hurt the Democrats. Biden won, motherfuckers.
What
are you talking about? Why are we mad about this?
Heidi Heitkamp didn't get reelected. It's because of defund the police, folks.
She didn't say of course she didn't say defund the police.
Yeah. Like,
and the sad part about all of that is, are we really surprised?
No,
I'm not
at all.
Surprised. Like,
I mean, I think the hard part, right, is you want to have enough optimism in your heart to not go fully black-pilled and just be like, man, fuck everything. Like, why am I even trying? Because everything has to move. You know, like, we have to be able to keep our heads in the game at some level. But yeah, I think like everything, I'm always like, well, I'm optimistic to a point. Part of me is like, you know, you're just like, I expect the pendulum to swing right back into place like it always does. But, you know, I think potentially if we reach a, you know, tipping point of enough like-minded people, maybe you see something happen. But I don't know how close we are to that, because people are just way too distracted by just trying to survive.
Yeah, 100%.
That was the thing that we slightly benefited from in the summer of 2020, is that the grind of capitalism, it slowed for a second for people to be like, what the fuck is going on out here?
That's a really interesting point, because, exactly. There was a little bit of, there was unemployment extension and benefits to folks like, you know, comics who don't have full-time work.
Yeah.
There was, that child tax credit. There was a little bit of moment of the boot coming off the neck and a little room there. What's funny is that no politician claims that mantelpiece. I mean, except for like Cori Bush, right? Representative Cori Bush. But no one else really claims the mantle of like, the streets, you know, I support the streets. I support the BLM movement. I support the defund the police movement. There's very, 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 very few. Imagine seeing all that energy and just letting that shit go to waste. And it reveals who really has the power in this country.
Absolutely.
And yet, when it comes time to vote again, everyone's going to be asking for Black Americans' vote specifically, and young people's vote, and then blaming them when shit doesn't go in the Democrats' direction. Like, well, it's these young people don't vote. Motherfucking do something to help them.
Do something.
And they will.
That's the meme I hate the most from like big D lib fucking loser people who are like, oh man, like, you know, leftists like ruining the country when they don't vote for Biden because he didn't forgive student loans.
Yeah.
It's like,
if he forgave student loans, I guarantee you the Democrats will win for like the next 10 years.
Thank you.
Yeah. like it's the easiest, I guarantee you.
Easiest win.
Yeah. It's the
doesn't
easiest
have to do
win.
Shit legislatively. Could sit and do nothing for the next 3 years, which is already sort of what he's aiming to do.
Yeah.
All you got to do is abolish student loans. Yeah. Everyone under 35 will love you forever.
Forever. Yeah. Forever.
The memes. The memes. Oh, think of the memes, Joe Biden.
Be great.
Oh my God. We will do so many memes for you, Joe. We'll put you in all different kinds of aviator glasses. They're going to move. We get laser eyes. Hella laser eyes.
Oh, yeah. We'll do the laser-eyed Hotep meme to Biden. You know what I mean?
Brother, Biden, you'll be the first Black president if you do that. We'll replace Clinton and Obama and be like, you remember when Biden was the first Black president?
Yeah, and it is wild to, I think it's a really disingenuous critique, right, for people who want to just say, well, it's really selfish that you would even articulate an opposition to voting for Democrats when the alternative is fascism. I'm sorry. A lot of people are already living some version of a fascist hellscape or oppressive hellscape, whether or not Joe Biden is in office. And I think without understanding what it means to what inaction means, it's just as violent for people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I think and not really looking at that piece and saying, you know what? Failure to addressing these problems is if we're moving in the same direction. It's just like, how slow do you want to creep towards fascism? Do you want to do the slow motion version where you do nothing and just kind of watch the whole thing rot? Or Republicans who just want to put that shit to fast forward? We're still not seeing real material outcomes for working people, for poor people, for oppressed people. And that's really the whole rub.
Yeah. Did you not learn your 2016 lesson at all?
No. No.
I mean, it's difficult because I keep on saying this, like Joe Biden was a wet blanket, literal wet blanket to put out the fire of Trump.
Yeah.
And we fucking needed a wet blanket. But now we're stuck with a wet blanket and we're like, oh, man.
And it's freezing. You're like, oh, this wet blanket makes me colder.
Yeah, now we need a weighted blanket now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I think that's why
weighted blanket.
I think I saw one piece this week talking about Joe Biden needing a primary challenger. One piece. And that was like a very, it was an op-ed or whatever. But that needs to be serious. Remember, he said, I'm just a bridge. I'm a bridge. Okay, yeah. Bridge your ass on out of here. Really?
Bridge your ass to Kamala Harris.
But we all know after in 2028, well, we don't all know, but it's likely that in 2028, AOC is probably she's going to be called to run. We don't know. I feel like she's on the Obama track, like in 2004.
She had a quote recently. She's like, I'd rather be out of this shit, man. I'd rather be in the streets. Like this.
I hope so.
Every time some new article, like the one we're talking about with Axios, comes out, AOC is like, I will go homestead, bitches. Like, I will go live off the land and you all can fucking fend for yourselves. She's this close to just putting on a bonnet and having like a million babies and never looking back. And we're like, no, we actually need you. I don't think she would ever do that, but she threatens
and
it.
What's funny is because of this, too, like the Democrats are ceding more like sort of this populist fertile ground to energize voters, leaving that to the conservatives now, because now they're just sort of like, hey, man, you can be anybody and like you can fuck shit up on a school board or as an electoral official or whatever. And they're really speaking this thing of like really trying to frame it as these people only care about the well-to-do. And it's, I mean, when you look at it, you're like, oh, that kind of tracks if I'm not really looking closely. I'm like, yeah, maybe.
Well, that's the thing. The status quo actually ripens for fascist takeover. It is perfect. When you don't get anything done, you've proven that you're useless. Then you make way for a demagogue to be like, only I can fix it. And that's when authoritarianism happens. And more people are on board with that because they're like, well, at least something's happening rather than absolutely nothing.
Right.
But I also agree that I don't think that people would actually necessarily vote for a Republican, but it's just lack of turnout. You know, the vote is not obligatory in this country. And so you just stay home.
Yeah.
Yep.
Exactly. And like, why go out? Because the last 40 years, they've been lying to me. So, okay. Whatever.
Fun.
Anyway, Daily Zeitgeist for President. All right. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. Speaking of the status quo, Kim Potter, the cop who killed Dante Wright because she claims that she was just shooting an unarmed person with a taser rather than a full-blown gun, she is in the news because her sentencing hearing occurred last week. And a lot of people are saying, what's going to be the outcome? You know, charged with first and second degree manslaughter. Is it going to be 15 years like Dante Wright's family had hoped for? Is it going to be the 7 years that the prosecutors wanted, who felt like, you know, based on her record, this feels about right based on the sentence or based on the crime? Or would the legal system just find a way to access untold amounts of empathy for the killer? It's the third one. She was sentenced to barely 2 years with time served, along with a weak ass fine that, like, it sounds like something you would get for just like driving drunk too many times and you'd never hurt anybody. Like, it's like, man, sorry, you're on probation. You're going to have to spend 16 more months in jail, and then you can go back to your two children who are still alive.
Right.
And go on with your life. Mm-hmm. The thing that was really, I mean, again, speaking of, you know, how the legal system and you know, oppressive systems maintain themselves, the judge in this trial felt so terrible for this woman, Kim Potter, again, who is still alive. Their children are, you know, for all intents and purposes, her life is unchanged since this shooting. Again, this sentence was below state guidelines. And the judge, Regina Chu, said it was, quote, one of the saddest cases I've had on my 20 years on the bench. Oh, really? Was it because Dante Wright was a young father and was maybe needlessly killed? Is that what it was? On the and this goes on, quote, on the one hand, a young man was killed. And on the other, a respected 26-year veteran police officer made a tragic error by pulling her handgun instead of her taser.
Now, listen to this. On the one hand, a young man. That's it. That's all you get there.
Was killed.
That's all you get. That reductive, a young man was killed. But on the other hand, you get a respected 26-year veteran police officer, tragic error. Like, you know, you get all these, like, you know, all these adjectives to describe this person who murdered somebody and who used the excuse, I didn't know. Get the fuck out. I can tell the difference without looking between my Roku remote and my fucking television remote. You're a police officer.
Yeah.
And you can't tell the difference between your taser and your handgun? Get the fuck out of it. Get the fuck out of it. And if that's the case, you should be in jail for 10 years for being the worst 26-year veteran police officer in the fucking world, who after 26 years in the heat of battle still can't tell the difference between your fucking handgun and a taser. Kiss my entire brown ass. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Was she not actually the kind of, like, was she not training other police officers?
She was
already in, like, maintaining your cool in these situations. That's, again,
fuck out of here.
Look at where all the empathy is. You've reduced this young man to a young man. That's it. Nothing
That's
about
it.
20 years old, not even 21 years old, not about their child that is going to be, who's missing a parent now. But this other thing is now just and completely, again, the reduction of just saying that Dante Wright is a young man and completely ignores the pile of black bodies that have been created by like law enforcement officers who just feel like they can do whatever the fuck they want to. That's not the issue here. It's just a tragic case.
It's also weird to me that the judge says it's one of the saddest cases I've had on my 20 years on the bench.
Really?
Again, another like veteran in the justice system or lack thereof. And this is the saddest case, and you gave this woman 2 years with 16 months essentially only served and then on parole. Well, is it sad because you're feeling more for this police officer than you are for the family and the man who, and the children who no longer have a dad? Like, what the fuck? This is sad to you? I'm sure you've seen and you've sentenced far poorer people, let's say, to condemn them to way longer life sentences or way longer sentences for nonviolent drug offenses than you just did for a police officer who should have known better, who just murdered a dude in cold blood.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand why she's sad about this.
Because I mean, it's sad to see that I have to punish someone who is an upholder of oppression. I'm just so sad that I even have to do. I'm sad I couldn't just let her go right now.
That's exactly what it is.
That's what I'm so sad
that I even had to do this much.
Yeah, that's what
and
it
the
is.
The only time people are sad for people who make tragic errors in their profession is with police officers. We pay them not to make these mistakes. Like, that's their job, not to make this mistake. Motherfuckers wasn't sad for the captain who wrote the Titanic into the iceberg. Like, motherfuckers wasn't sad for, you know, pilots who crashed and shit. You're not sad for, you know, them. As a matter of fact, people sued them. Yeah. People sued, like, the motherfuckers who, like, make tragic errors in their jobs because, and, like, mistakes happen. I get it. I'm not, like, being that reductive or that dunce. But, like, we pay professionals, especially a 26-year professional, to not make mistakes like this.
Right. And, you know, the judge said that the lesser sentence, they said, you know, is kind of above board. Let me tell you why. Quote, Potter was in the line of duty and doing her job in attempting to lawfully arrest Dante Wright when she mistook her gun for a taser. Okay. And then said Potter was also trying to protect another officer who could have been dragged and seriously injured if Wright drove away. Hmm. Okay. I don't know about all that. I know he was shot in his chest and then died a few blocks away in his car. And how long did that black officer in Minnesota get sentenced for killing that white woman? And that was, wasn't that a, I think it was a much longer sentence. But again, this is where the judge says, this is different. Quote, this is not a cop found guilty of murder for using his knee to pin down a person for 9.5 minutes as he gasped for air. This is not a cop found guilty of manslaughter for intentionally drawing his firearm and shooting across his partner and killing an unarmed woman who approached his squad. This is a cop who made a tragic mistake. I can't honestly believe it. Potter's lawyer, her defense attorney, gestured to a box during, because if you saw any of the trial, Kim Potter went up there with those tears that, you know, that shit is more potent than fucking uranium, white woman tears. You can move heaven and earth with that shit. Her attorney gestured to a box that was supposedly, he said, thousands of letters and postcards of support saying, quote, he has never seen anything like this in his life. What is that supposed to mean? If you get enough love letters from other racists that there's like a quota you can hit, they're like, okay, you got your 1,000 postcards and your white woman tears? Okay, not guilty.
Yeah, it's like the Valentine's Day box. You know, you just decorate it real nice. And like, well, I mean, the racist had a nicer Valentine's Day box. So people wanted to put more Valentines in it. And the judge said the same thing. I received so many letters of support. Oh, that's funny because I remember outpouring of protests around this murder.
Yeah.
But I guess they didn't come in the form that you liked it in. It needed to be like a little handwritten note on some, you know, paper source stationery.
A lot less energy to put your body out there in the street. Oh, that's for sure.
But they didn't spray it with strawberry spray, you know.
Like, exactly.
Ooh, this smells good. Ooh, this is real support.
And that, and what's wild too is a sentence comes out the same day they put Amir Locke, you laid him to rest.
Yeah.
In Minnesota. And it's
I mean,
the status quo.
Yes, it's the status quo. And the sad part for me is that like these things, I'm so desensitized to this shit at this point. Like I don't even feel anything. Like and I know that's sad. I mean, I feel anger. But my anger at this point has to be so compartmentalized where, like, by the time we go to the next segment, I've forgotten my anger about this story.
Yeah.
You know, like, it has to be that way because if not, you can get weighed down by the fact that this sentence comes out when we bury Amir. You know, like, these things stack up in a way that it's just like...
It's overwhelming. You know? And I think that's kind of like an abstraction for most American people who might not be, you know, as in touch with the idea that they're living in an unjust nation. Because for many groups of people here, you see the same shit happen over and over and over and over and over again. And you begin to get this feedback from society that says, my life isn't really worth much. I'm disposable. Mm-hmm. There isn't, it seems to be that an easier way for me to exist is to just try and bury everything and ignore the fact that the violence that is committed against people who look like me or believe the things I do or you know, for whatever the reason is, that all I can do is have a very, very cynical idea about what's in store for me. And that, and again, that also feeds into, like, even when these people say, like, I can't believe they wouldn't vote for Democrats. Let me tell you why. Because a lot of people are seeing this really horrific shit happen over and over again. And I don't care how many fucking dashikis or how much kente cloth you wrap around your dumb ass in the Capitol, that doesn't change the fact that you functionally did fuck all to protect people. And that's what is really infuriating, is that you see quote unquote leadership in this country, and they're not prioritizing just the bare minimum. We're still having fucking debates over qualified immunity. You know what I mean? And that's what really makes it disheartening, too, is like, we can't even get over that fucking hurdle, let alone even what you were mentioning, Francesca, like, still no databases. We still can't even do the bare minimum.
So much criminality within the justice system. And not only that, I mean, you've got extremists just laced all through it, too, you know, as January 6th proved. And but meanwhile, the defund the police people are radical. Come on.
Yeah.
And you think, I think the right, and even to obviously a certain extent, Democrats, but they're kind of okay with the number of innocent Black Americans who get gunned down, so long as you don't say anything about it. Right.
Yeah.
It's like, nah, the real problem they have is with people taking the streets about this.
Mm-hmm.
They're not upset by the status quo of the murder. They're fine with that.
Yeah.
They're just really mad that you've got a problem with it. And that's racism in a nutshell. That's right wing and that's left wing in a nutshell. It's like, I thought we were post-race. Why do you have to keep on reminding me that your community is over-policed and that you've lost your relatives to gun violence, police violence, and the criminal industrial complex or the prison industrial complex, you know?
And yeah, everyone's in a shitty relationship with this country, which has violated you, transgressed over and over, and still does the thing like what you hear in a lot of dysfunctional, toxic relationships. Oh my God, you're still talking about that?
Right.
That I cheated on you multiple times, that I'm abusive, that I'm no good. We're still talking about this? Yes, because you are still fucking up. That's why. And the fact that this insistence to move on, again, but the inaction is just as violent because you're not addressing the fucking factors that are making life so miserable for people.
Right. Yeah. As you're texting your other like side chick, like, you're still talking about that? Hang on.
God.
Let me answer this text from her.
I told you I'm working in social media stuff now. So I have to look for people with big followings. That's
this my
DM'd
job. This is my job.
Becky Cakes is a serious business person that I have to speak with.
I may not to change the subject on this, you know, on this subject. I may need an alibi. I just got an email. That's why I was checking my phone. And I want y'all to keep this in, because I may need the whole internet to be like, nah, he wasn't there.
Okay.
I just got an email from like a weed store, a dispensary with a $91 order.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and I was like, oh shit, somebody just stole my card. But then it was like payment type cash, so like somebody must have went to a weed store posing as me and paid cash for like $100 of shit. And but I got the receipt and like the points and shit. I'm not sure what's going on, but in case the dispensary
all right,
gets robbed or some shit today, I want y'all to let everybody know Jacquees was recording the Daily Zeitgeist right here, right now. I got an alibi. It wasn't me. But if nothing like that happens, I want these points.
All right.
I want these points.
You want the stamps on the card.
I want the stamps on the card.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was sweating. I was like, damn, somebody done got my card, man. That's why I went silent for a minute.
Maybe it's maybe someone's hooking you up and you're going to get bing bong. You're like, hey,
maybe somebody about to be at my door and be like, here's a present for you, brother.
Oh, remember those white guilt gifts from 2020?
Damn.
Give me some.
Oh.
Remember them Venmos?
Hey,
man.
I miss them. From motherfuckers from high school, they're like, hey, man.
I ain't had one. I haven't had one person Venmo me for Black History Month this year.
God damn.
And like, I would donate maybe it anyway, it. But maybe this is it.
Right.
Everybody,
exactly.
Venmo me, Miles, and Francesca, because Francesca was here by default.
That's
Venmo
right.
us all for Black History Month. And
everybody,
we'll
please.
Decide what we're going to do with it.
And please don't let it be a scam similar to what the Trumps are up to right now. Because, my God, if crypto wasn't being fucking force-fed to people at the rate that it is now, I mean, I don't even know what to say here. So, first of all, we all know NFTs are fucking tight, okay? Mm-hmm. They're like the sickest way to fucking go skip a few steps straight to ballerdom.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And that's why my first lady, Melania Trump, is coming out with her own set of collectible POTUS NFTs. I just want to read this fucking press release that came out from Melania's Twitter account. POTUS Trump NFT collection to launch on President's Day. The POTUS Trump NFT collection celebrating the Trump presidency will launch on blah, blah, blah on President's Day. They go on to say, the NFT collection consists of 10 original pieces of digital artwork highlighting iconic moments from President Trump's administration, such as the 4th of July visit to Mount Rushmore and Christmas at the White House. The limited edition collection is comprised of 10,000 NFTs and is tiered into platinum and gold levels. Again, they're saying they've got it. The quote from Melania's quote, I am proud to expand upon my NFT platform, and I'm honored to be able to recognize important moments in our nation's history.
Our nation's history.
History.
I look forward to collaborating with others to offer a truly special, authentic parts of U.S. history.
Also, by the board.
I love it.
My husband.
My husband.
My husband is, you know how it's like my wife and it's my husband.
My captor. I mean, let's be real. I love being part of this as well. The thing that they say, the company goes on and be like, you know, this company is providing history fans the ability to purchase patriotic themed collectibles with immutable provenance permanently recorded on the blockchain. Okay, fool.
Immutable provenance? The fuck is that?
I mean, you know, just because it's real art, you know, it's not like
like
those. You don't know if you're getting janky art. You know the provenance of this. You know where it originates from because of the blockchain, which is funny because this isn't the first time Melania Trump has sold NFTs. Like a couple weeks back, she sold like a grifter like charity bundle, which was like the white hat she wore when she met Macron and a watercolor of that moment. And then an NFT version of that watercolor piece. This shit sold for $170,000, and it was supposed to go to some portion went to charity. We don't know what the fuck, but here's the thing. The thing about the blockchain is you can kind of dig in and try and line some shit up and figure out, well, let me see if there's anything overlapping. Turns out the same crypto wallet that paid for this winning NFT bid or whatever is the same crypto wallet that created the NFT in the first fucking place. They said they did it on behalf to facilitate the buy on behalf of like a third party. Now, the big critique of this shit, of all this NFT shit is you can buy your own shit at an inflated price to give the fucking impression that the shit is worth more than it is and wait for some other idiot to come along and buy the shit off you and be like, pfft. They're like, I put up the 15 grand to make that shit look like it was worth 15. And then this person gave me 20 for it. Done deal. So it's a very, you know, again, immutable provenance.
And people money launder
through
this, right? Yeah.
I
still just really don't get it. And one of my homies, I think he's been on this show before, shout out to Bayside, is into it. I mean, he's into it. Like, he would get so mad right now at us talking about it. They support this shit. And he tried to explain it to me. He was like, it's going to be the future. And things like Snoop Dogg just announced Death Row is going to be an NFT label or some shit like that, which I really don't understand it. I feel like I'm a pretty smart guy. And, like, I just can't grasp it. I don't understand it. And I don't think people who are into it even understand it. They just are, you know, doing it.
The benevolent crypto argument is one thing, right? Is that you're finding a decentralized financial system that isn't tied to like the global banking system.
With no agreed upon value that is insanely volatile and could crash at any moment, that is actually not used to buy and sell goods, but merely hoard and inflate value.
And even then, right? Like, you have these groups of people who are like, you know, putting together crypto DAOs and stuff. There was this group where this guy used like the very democratic form of their like DAO to make himself the leader. And then he took all the crypto and ran with it. So yeah. A lot of people are like, this is how it could be. And I get that there is a way that it could be. But the second you're greed is a dimension of it, it's right. going to be completely perverted. And I think maybe 1% of people are going to try and use it in a way that I get that there is a way to maybe think of a better future. But based on the amounts of energy that it takes to mine the shit and all this other nonsense that goes on, from my perspective, I'm like, why is every rich motherfucker suddenly coming out here with their NFTs or trying to pump up some version of crypto? Because again, it's thinking of it as like downline salespeople from the Jeggings company, the leggings company, LuLaRoe. Yeah. You know what I mean? They need more people to come in downline from them to make sure that the assets that they have now, they can sell that shit and it's still worth something.
Right.
Because
it is a pyramid scheme.
Yeah, they're going to be holding the fucking bag. And that's the cynical view of it that I have looking at it, and why I like whenever I see Larry David out here like fucking, you know, and being a fucking preacher, evangelical for this shit. I'm like, it's a wrap, dude. Like they got
I had to stop everything and watch that ad. I was like,
that commercial was funny. I laughed.
Yeah, it was
funny. And then where it ended, I was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
The punchline was on us.
Indeed. Yeah. Few things can make me like the Federal Reserve. And crypto and NFTs are like, yeah, maybe we need the Federal Reserve.
It's crypto and then actually touring the Fed, because it's a dope-ass tour. But those are the only things that like can make you like the Federal Reserve.
But what I don't get about the NFT is I'm going to create a piece of art that is not replicable and assign an arbitrary value to it that is then somehow going to appreciate, even though it's not even, I get Bitcoin because it's got the word coin in it, but like, what the fuck? What am I going to do with this little dog or this little Melania hat?
You got it.
So
what happens?
So like, this is what Bezos said to me. He was like, because he went to Noah Trevor, like a show of his, and like you could buy the ticket just with cash or you could buy an NFT. And like, if you have the NFT, it was the same price. But if you have the NFT, like subsequent shows or different things could be like, and for anybody who has like the Trevor Noah NFT, you get these perks and these perks and these perks. So it's like you get, it's basically like a reward program.
But there's a quantity of that I sort of get, right?
The whole point is NFTs are helping to mainstream the use of cryptocurrencies. That's it.
I see,
if you broaden out. Because it's not enough to people be like, oh, I bought this much Ethereum or I bought this much crypto or Doge or whatever. You're saying we got to find a way for people to start using this crypto in a way that also feels like it's an investment and also works too. So if you don't know much about economics, you damn sure know about Michael Jordan taking off from the free throw line in a dunk contest. Don't you want to own that GIF as the NFT and be the only motherfucker on the internet that owns that? Like, that's all it is.
They're making fun of us. They're making fun of us. Instead of helping us understand the economy and also how bullshit like the market is, they're just making fun of us.
Yeah.
They're like, do you want to really be a Miranda if you're such a Sex and the City fan? Well, by the moment that Shay Diaz fingered Miranda in Carrie's apartment.
Face-to-face kitchen finger bang scene in an NFT. You got it.
That's mocking me.
I'd buy it.
Oh, man.
I'd buy it. I'd buy it.
It wasn't not hot. It was hot. It's the only time I like Shay Diaz.
Yeah. Smoking weed and being like, shut up, girl. Your friend recovering in the other room from her surgery. Shut the fuck up. Take this.
NFT.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zy Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring the Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
And we're back. Let's keep our eyes on the dystopia a little bit more as we talk about MoviePass.
Ooh.
You know, as our writer J.M. McNabb says, they're going full Black Mirror. You say, what? How could MoviePass become some kind of Black Mirror episode? Well, let me tell you. So at the end of last year, one of the original co-founders, Stacy Spikes, acquired the company out of bankruptcy. Okay. And the whole thing with Stacy Spikes was they were saying, look, I was basically ousted from the company originally because I was the one saying, yo, this business model doesn't work. It makes no sense. Like, you're going to fuck everything up trying to do it like this. And they're like, you know what, Stacy, get the fuck out of here. Mm-hmm. Spikes comes back and then, you know, saying, aha, I will buy this fucking distressed asset now and finally make it the thing that it needs to be, really pay off on this process of movie, or the promise of MoviePass. Mm-hmm. And so we're like, well, what's the new MoviePass about? What's it going to be? Well, along some, like, whatever boring details, there's a new thing that it's going to have an app where you can, quote, earn credits to go to the movies by watching ads and commercials that are customized to you. You say, okay, well, it's like, sounds like, I remember
Minority
doing that
Report.
Shit in the late 90s and, like, early 2000s where you would just do, like, focus groups and you get, like, free Eastpak backpack all the time. That was, like, my bread and butter. Mm-hmm. But this whole thing now, it's like, you have to do it our way. So how do you get these credits? Well, in order to make sure that your stinking ass is actually looking at the fucking advertisements, the app is going to access your phone's front-facing camera to make sure that your eyes are fucking on the screen.
No.
Eye movement trackers to say, hey, you trying to fucking zone out during this John and Kate Plus 8 reboot series that's coming out. Yeah. You need to look at this. Like, a red square comes on the screen and it pauses the video until it knows you're looking back at it again. And that's how you earn your little fucking credits.
It is Minority Report.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is scary. So, first of all, this is insane. And I love it. I'll never do it. But I love that, like, we are finally seeing, what's the right word, the downfall of how accelerated our technology has gotten on us, where basically all this is doing to me is, because this is not going to work, but like all this is doing to me is driving home the fact that our phones can track our fucking eyeballs.
Absolutely.
Like, and this is the technology that we have. When we're looking at our phones, this is off topic, but kind of on topic. I had to do like some, for the IRS or some shit, some verify ID shit. And mm-hmm. I did it on my phone and I had to upload my driver's license. And it was like, okay, now we are going to turn on your camera and take a selfie video of you to verify that you look like your ID. And it was right. like this video selfie that was all different colors. And it was like scanning my face. And I was like, this is my fucking phone.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
this is
yeah.
the IRS.
Yeah.
Accessing my phone to do this shit. And the fact that it has gotten down to the point where MoviePass can do this too. Mm-hmm. Insane. Exactly. Insane.
I mean, if nothing will make me watch an ad for Marry Me all the way through. Like, you cannot force me to watch that fucking ad for that fucking movie with yeah. Owen goddamn Wilson.
Right.
Or is it Luke? No, it's Owen.
It's Owen.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to watch
J-Lo. The cast of Anaconda got back together for a romantic film.
Right, right.
I've scrolled past that. I don't care if I get free movies. I do not care.
Yeah,
I mean, I will not watch that all the
I
way.
I feel like what we need to do is invest in like fake eyes that people can right. put on and then trick your fucking phone into thinking like your eyes are actually looking at the screen.
I bet you could like, just put like a broom with googly eyes and yeah, like set it eyes, up.
Right.
Or even like sunglasses that have eyes printed on them.
Yeah,
and
something.
They're just like, yeah, this shit looking. Because what
if you do have sunglasses on? What, you got to take them off?
I mean, Jackie's, you're yeah. right, because it's like the half of your brain when something like that happens, the IRS thing, I think I did something similar, but I've like put it into the like, will it forever forget mm-hmm. that we're entering into tech totalitarianism part of mm-hmm. your brain where you're like, I'm going to forget I even did that. But yeah. but like you're simultaneously kind of fascinated that it even exists.
Yeah. Right?
So you're split. You're like, oh, wow. Whoa, wow.
Yeah.
Anyway, you know.
That's how I all felt. Right. I was like, I they guess this is cool, but also this is terrifying because at any point you can just turn this on. You could turn this on. You can listen mm-hmm. to me. You can see me. Like, yeah. it's pretty wild. It's wild.
I mean, interesting because it's also like the models. Like, I don't know if Apple is participating in this, but like, you know, Apple's model is like, yeah, no, we're tracking you all the time, but only yeah. for us, really. And they've been generally resistant. When like the NSA and others want they hate the idea of building in a back channel for security, mm-hmm. right? Because they think that that's like a violation of privacy / their ability to come out with the next new iPhone, you know? Mm-hmm, they're mm-hmm. no heroes.
Right.
But like they're the least awful when it comes to some of this privacy stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's also, it makes me reconsider. You ever like when you're going number two, I don't like to hold my phone because that's gross. I like to set it up. And it's
oh wow!
Like put something on to watch, and then I'll like be watching it.
Why? Because I feel like in the act of shitting, like your whole body becomes filthy. So you're yeah.
And it just I don't know. I like to put it somewhere, and then I'll like sit down. Because of course we can never be alone.
The fuck out that phone.
Oh yeah, you're holding it.
Oh, I hold my phone. Oh yeah.
Gotta
I'm not touching my ass.
I brought a laptop. Sometimes I bring a laptop in the fucking bathroom. If I need to watch something on a bigger screen, I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna watch Married.
But
First
I get
Sight.
You though. I get you. It's the fact that it's in a it's a mental thing. You don't. Your body is doing something that you don't want to actually like touch something
interact
that goes
with.
To your face. Like,
I just feel actually a little too close to all the people I interact with on the internet. Okay. Like something, I'm going to push the wrong button and someone's going to hear like this juice drop.
Right.
Wow.
Like,
I'm going to accidentally press Snapchat and somebody will be like, oh,
yo,
is that
Francesca? Yo, going live right now on Instagram. Yeah. And you're like, oh, what?
That's exactly what I'm afraid of. But I also know that like there is someone on the other side of this little Black Mirror. My phone's name is Black Mirror 2020.
Is
I
it?
Love it.
If you ever want to airdrop me anything, people.
Okay.
I love that.
Good to know.
But I always imagine that there is someone on the other side watching me just kind of like on the toilet far away, like.
Yeah.
I'm doing that. I'm on a side frame anyway.
Long distance.
You're listening as a podcast, which you probably are.
It's wild, too, because the creator, people keep saying, like, why Black Mirror ain't coming back? And the creator just straight up said, the world is depressing enough now.
Yeah.
Like, when the world gets so depressing enough for the Black Mirror creator.
Yeah.
And we get to the point where it's like, yeah, he's right. Like, MoviePass talking about, we're going to track your eyeballs. Also, shout out to AMC A-List, you know what I'm saying? 20, you know, let me get the plug in here real quick. $25, see 3 movies a week. I know MoviePass.
$25 now? I thought that shit was 20 before.
It raised after the pandemic, but you know what? We trying to keep movies alive. $25 a month,
you get free popcorn or just extra free popcorn?
You get extra free popcorn, okay. Yeah. Extra free popcorn. Extra. You can see any movie, IMAX, you can do it all. You know, it's a beautiful thing. MoviePass was a unicorn in the movie-going experience, but it got people going back to the movies, I think, which was pretty dope.
I don't think there are 3 movies in a given month I'd ever want to see in the theater.
No.
Absolutely not.
In the summer, maybe because it's hot, and I like I like going to a cold movie theater when it's hot. But, I mean, that's the thing. I'm already, like, I'm looking at how, like, you know, a lot of these places are, like, private theater rental. I'm like, I want to go in there and straight up disrespect an AMC theater. Like, bring in a bunch of crawfish. Eat a crawfish boil in the fucking theater. And rent that shit out. And be like, I'm sorry. Yeah, and we're smoking blunts in here. I don't know who these other people are. They just joined us. I don't know Mr. AMC, but we really enjoyed House of Gucci.
I'd be smoking my vape in the AMC. I know it's bad, but I'd be getting high in the movie theaters.
Wow.
But anyway,
Renegade. MoviePass. I just want to say alongside this story with Stacey Spikes. So he originally had another app that he launched on Kickstarter in 2019 called Pre-Show, which was exactly this same idea. You get credits for movies if you watch like 15 to 20 minutes of commercials while the camera's fixed upon your eyeballs. So
15 or 20 minutes.
Yeah, I think you could probably break it up, right? Maybe you have to get through that shit to get a credit, and you could probably break it up however you want, but that's a hell of a lot of your damn human time to do that, which is why buy our fake eyes so you can hack these kinds of stupid devices. But
advertisers will absolutely go for this. Like, on that side, they're like, oh, this is perfect. I love this.
Well, force their eyes on it? Great.
I'm there for it because honestly, with the whole streaming thing and everyone fast forwards, it's difficult.
It's a mess. It's a mess. How am I supposed to sell my toxic yard killer?
They're gonna start doing that with TV with TVs now. Like, yo, you want to keep watching Grand Crew? Watch these commercials.
They're like, yes, because I like the idea of a stripper named Pipe Jerry or a plumber named Jerry Pipe.
Similar thing happened, you know, some similar thing that technology I didn't know existed, but it's like incredibly surveillance state was, I think Matt was trying to screen record the trailer for The Many Saints of
Newark.
I was like, where are we? Many Saints of Newark, terrible film. And after he screen recorded it, he watched it back. It was black.
Black.
It's completely dark screen. Like,
yeah.
That's because Apple is trying to help you out. That's when you need those third party shits to actually be able to like record. Because even if you do the screen cap, like you can't even take a picture of shit. Like I used to do that shit to make memes of like 90 Day Fiance. Uh-huh. They'll be like, nope, shit's black because the app, like the Apple operating system knows you're trying to lift like a copyrighted image.
Fuck that. That's crazy.
Wow. Yeah. But look, there's workarounds. But the one thing Stacey Spike said about all this, like, yeah, maybe it's fucking weird, but at the very least, I'm being upfront about how this shit works. I'm not trying to talk, like, sneak in weird little fees and shit and limits on what this new movie pass is. We're being straight up. Look at these ads. Maybe get some more free movies. Why am I the bad guy? So,
I mean, I don't disagree with that.
That hardly makes me want to engage with
it. It doesn't make me want to do it. But if he's like, yo, we're telling you everything we're going to do. We're telling you we're taking advantage of the technology that they give us. At least he's just like saying, I'm not lying to you. You just got to decide if you're okay with it.
I like that defense too. It's like, baby, I told you I was a scumbag when you got
with me. Baby, I told you I was going to have sex with another woman. What you mad?
I was upfront about it. Come on now. And now I'm the bad guy.
I'm the bad guy.
I never lied. Anyway, so yeah, good luck to them. If you want to join for my crawfish boil in a movie theater, hit me up on Twitter.
Yeah, Miles, let's do that.
Bring in a coalition of the willing.
Let's go. Let's do that. What movie coming out? Let's go do that.
Also, there's a boiling crab right across the street from the fucking AMC in Burbank.
AMC 16.
Watch me come in with a motherfucking gigantic trash bag of crawdads and fucking boiled potatoes and corn, and they're like, "What are you doing, that sir?" I'm like, "I'm going to eat this and watch the new Spider-Man." Good day, sir.
The cockroach of the sea.
Yeah.
Sorry. I can have like 2 and then I look at their face and I'm like, ugh, I can't anymore.
So good.
Just give me shrimp.
Suck all the juice out and you
I'm not you a huge get seafood your person down. Either.
You don't like crawfish either?
It's all right.
Oh, I love it's so interactive. I like an interactive food. Like I like working for it, like breaking sure. shit down. You know what
no.
I mean? Yeah, I get it. Hey, different strokes.
Nah.
So I guess
give me my food, man.
What are you gonna have? The crab legs, then?
Hell yeah.
Okay, bougie.
Hell yeah. Or chicken.
Yes. Yeah. How about
easier to eat?
How about
some easier chicken. To eat? Meanwhile,
the crawfish of the land, yes. as they say.
Yeah. Meanwhile, my whole outfit is soaked in whole shebang juice.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh, well, yeah. You get messy in that AMC.
Oh, my God. Disrespect. I'm not joking. I think this the funny because have you seen that meme of like that black woman who was on like a Spirit Airlines flight and she had a whole seafood boil she was eating in the plane, like big ass crab legs and shit. And like everyone's like, yo, she's doing it right. But like also just that. The air on that plane. The shout air. Out to people who are sitting around her.
I was on a flight from Boston back to, I think it was San Francisco when I was living there. And I was so hungry. It was one of those, like, I don't know, 9, 10 a.m. flights, whatever. Too early to have gotten anything to eat. I fucked up. It was a long flight. And the guy next to me has a giant buttery lobster roll.
Oh.
And he's just eating it right next to me. And I was like, oh, I was like just itching. I was I was very close to asking him for a bite.
I was going to end the show, but now it got me thinking. You know how sometimes you'll see somebody come on a plane with like a whole ass meal? I'm like, this motherfucker brought a whole fucking meal on this tiny ass plane. Are you more outraged that they're being selfish and they're polluting the odor, the air with their food? Or you just mad because you only ate a fucking Nature Valley bar 4 hours ago before you got on the plane, and your stomach's louder than a fucking, you know, DMX concert.
Definitely the latter.
Yeah.
Louder than a DMX concert.
I think about it, I'm like, oh, God, I'm like, I wish I should have, man, this motherfucker brought Five Guys on.
Yeah. Y'all don't bring food on the, I won't bring food from the crib on the plane, but anything past the gate. Oh, that shit.
Oh, yeah. Then I get in the thing. I'm like, man, this fucking shit ain't worth that much. Because, you know, LAX is the, like,
dog shit.
Like, Jersey Mike's is like $73.
The food is bad
at LAX, too. Yeah.
It's coming from Chicago. The Chicago airport's got some good food, and other airports got great
food.
Does
it? SFO has great food. SFO but my mom, of course, food. She's Chinese, so she always brings stuff from home. It's like cut apples, cheeses, and
like. That's like. My mom, she's like, I made egg sandwiches. And I'm like, I love these, mom, but we're violating people by eating these on the plane. She's like, okay, what about tuna?
Hit up Love Field and go get a Whataburger. Ooh.
All right, anyway. Francesca, thank you so much for coming on the show today. It's so good to have you. And
thank you.
Have your insights, which are priceless.
Always so much fun.
People already know where to find you, March 10th, I believe, correct?
Hell yeah, the Bell House in
New York.
Situationroom.com if you want to come out and see me or follow me on all the socials at
with Sam, Matt, and who else?
Sam, Matt, council member Tiffany Caban, again, DSA backed, like, you know, Democratic Socialist on the New York City Council. We'll see how she's doing with Eric Adams and his vegan cop loving ways.
Hey, man, we got to get rid of this drill music. You feel me? That's the problem. It's the music, not the.
Close terrible. The door. Oh, you died in a fire? Close the door.
Close the door. Yikes. Is there a tweet that you're liking? Oh, also, like, what about, shout out your, socials, all that. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Franny Fio on Twitter and Instagram and even TikTok. Franny Fio, FRANIFIO. I'm sure that you guys discuss this in great detail, but I'm loving everything that has to do with the Ram Ranch resistance.
Hmm. I don't know if we've talked. I don't know if they talked about it when I was gone, but I know about the gay musical that is disrupting the trucker convoy.
Yes, the trucker convoys who are speaking on an app called Tello are being interrupted by the gay cowboy anthem Ram Ranch, which is also a terrible but very funny song. And so a BuzzFeed reporter named Paul McLeod was just live tweeting this discussion on Zello with a bunch of the truckers. And it's very, 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 very fun. Let me just read one of these. He writes, this has gone way off the rails. Actual quote just now. What is this Ram Ranch people are talking about? Is it somewhere we can go and get our money? So these are all the Canadian trucker supporters who've just been completely swindled out of their money. and someone's playing Ram Ranch, which starts with 18 naked cowboys in the shower at Ram Ranch. And yeah, it's beautiful. I love this entire thread.
Oh, God, I love it. I love just the chaos. But they're like, we don't know how to get the damn crypto out. Yeah. Like, okay. Well, you tried. You tried. Jaquise, thank you so much, man, for coming on and helping me host. No. Yes, I know. Tell them, I mean, obviously, I'll just let you do. Where do they find you? Where do they follow you?
Man, you can find me in these streets as always. I'm looking for a tweet right now. I always forget to find a tweet. I've been liking trash tweets I'm looking over the past couple of days now. Just like no funny tweets, just all I've been in like the world is terrible mood on Twitter for the past couple of days. So let me try to find a comedy one for you guys.
Yeah.
Something that's funny. Oh, all right. Fuck it. I don't need nothing that's funny. Let me get y'all excited about something.
Yeah. Okay.
So I didn't know this. So a tweet I'm liking is this idea from a Muppet movie that's never gotten made that I think sounds dope as hell that I would love to see made, especially if it's a Muppet movie. But even just this concept, I think is pretty dope. So there's this like tweet going around where people are retweeting, "What's your pop culture white whale?" Unreleased, unrealized stuff.
Oh, yeah, I remember that tweet, yeah.
Yeah. And people are like, you know, saying what it is. Luke Eplin wrote, "When Jim Henson died, he was developing an idea called the cheapest Muppet movie ever, in which Gonzo blows the budget on the opening credits, and then the rest of the movie gets cheaper and cheaper looking. Same street in every shot, etc. Would have been amazing." That shit sounds great.
Yeah. Like,
is that for real?
Yeah. Apparently he was developing.
That is such a funny comedy idea of damn.
Yes. That's so fucking funny. And then apparently, like, I went into the thread and people were saying every once in a while, the Henson Company or somebody will, like, bring it back up and hopefully one day it'll actually go into development. But that is so funny. Like,
that's
the opening
great.
Sequence is just big budget, is beautiful, is great, and then the rest of the movie just gets cheaper and
just
cheaper.
Just every celebrity cameo in the first 30 seconds.
Yes.
And then by the end is Heidi Montag from The Hills.
Yes. That is such a funny idea that I wish somebody would. I want the Muppets to do it because it would be very beautiful, I think. But just the idea.
We need to pull up to, what is that, Sunset and La Brea, where Henson Studios is at.
Go to that Henson Studios.
Demanding they make the film.
Yeah.
Fuck, you could crowdfund that shit and it would probably look exactly as it needs to.
Probably. So yeah, that's something I'm liking. And one day I hope that gets made because that sounds there dope. At Jaquise Neal on everything. Y'all know it is. Go ahead and follow your boy. I'm telling you, once we get past that magical number, I'm going
to
go ahead and release
the
news.
Like 900 short, right, to get you to
10K? Yeah, 900
short. Come on
now. 900 short. We're going to get there.
I'm following you right now.
Help this,
hell
man.
Yeah. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. But otherwise...
And that's then, okay, it. So a tweet I like is from at Memphis Quinn. It's like this meme. It says, "Can you hear me screaming telepathically?" And it's just laughter emojis. It's a picture of Professor Charles Xavier in his, like, you know, iconic yellow, like, hover chair. But it says, rather than Professor X, the head is superimposed with the late Earl Simmons, a.k.a. DMX. It says, "Professor DMX." And it says, "Y'all gonna make me use my mind." And that shit was so funny to me as a big Dark Man X and X-Men fan. And then another tweet I like is from Spencer at Spence the Kiddo tweeted, "Me on Love is Blind. I'm black. Are you?" I'm always like, are they? That has to be getting ass, right? Because I feel like you gotta figure some stuff out up top. But you know what? I love that. Just very good strategy on Love is Blind. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram, and also the other show, 420 Day Fiance, if you want to hear me talk 90 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexandra. Also, Daily Zeitgeist, at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We got a Facebook fan page, all that. You know what I mean? That's where you can get them footnotes.
Footnotes!
There it is. Thank you so much. And that's also where you're going to find the song that we are going to ride out on. Today, to keep this Black History vibe going, the song we're going to ride out on is, look, we got a few Chicagoans on this show. Mm-hmm. We have a Chicagoan on the mic. We have a Chicagoan who works behind the mic in Justin. Mm-hmm. And I want to shout out Minnie Ripperton, Chicago's very own mother of Maya Rudolph, who tragically passed away very young from breast cancer. Yeah, Maya Rudolph has pipes because her mother is Minnie Ripperton. Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that. The woman who went number one with... Yes. Like her vocal range out of control. But this track, Le Fleur, L-E-S-F-L-E-U-R-S, it's a great track. If you're not up on Minnie Ripperton, put this on when you're vacuuming or cleaning up or folding your laundry or just doing stuff around the house. It feels good.
Or put it on when, all the people from underground take over up above and hold hands across America.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the song at the end of Us.
Yes.
That's right. Perfect. Perfect. So, yeah, educate yourself. Minnie Ripperton, a legend, and that is going to be the song we write out on. Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio, so for more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple, or wherever you get them damn free podcasts. We'll see you later and talk about what's trending. Until then, talk to you later. Bye.
Peace.
Zeitgang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.